Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the LEGIONPODCAST. I'm Murray, and this week I am Chief Officer of Trim. I'm taking Rover in the morning. He's getting a trim, Murphy is.
You've got Murphy like right in there.
I know. He's shaggy and it's hot. Well, I mean, it was hot up until winter descended again, but it's going to get hot again.
Yes, it is.
Poor old dog is just, he's hot, and his paws look like they're like 8 million miles wide, and it's all just fur, and it gets, you know, burrs and green things get stuck in there. So
yeah, that's no good.
You know, it's time for a trim, but we're trying someone new because the last time we took him in for a trim, he came out bald, and we are not going through that again.
Oh no!
Yeah, November, we brought him in for a trim, saying, trim, just a little, you know, just even trim.
That's not the time.
I was so mad. So we're going in again with, you know, some pictures and some stuff and some, you know,
some parameters.
That's right. Like when we say trim, this is what we want. Here's a picture of what we do not want. If you give me this,
what I'm gonna look like.
totally. Can you give him the Jennifer Aniston? We
like that shag, yes. Please.
Anyway,
it's gonna be like when Phoebe cut Monica's hair, and she said she wanted to look like Demi Moore, and she's like, "Yes, I did it, just like
from Arthur.
He had it in Arthur."
Oh my God, Murphy will kill me if that happens.
Oh, she has great hair.
I know.
All righty, so that's me. Fingers crossed, everything will go lovely tomorrow. And Instagram will be filled with beautiful pictures of beautiful dog.
Nice.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Well, I am the chief sleeping officer of NAP.
Oh, yeah.
Which stands for Need a Little Peace. I've decided to coin a new word. A little, A-L, I
absolutely.
So yep. Today after you know, went to pick up Ella from she had her school trip. Small T, please. Because they went less than all out for them this year, and they had like a day at some camp, you know, where it was rainy all day, and so less than ideal, and so I went to pick her up, and I told her I'm on my way to get you, and I'm literally around the corner from the school, and she's like, oh, my friend's mom's gonna give me a ride, I'm in the car, and it was like, oh, okay, I guess I'll just follow you guys home then. and she's like, okay, I'm home. And it's like, okay, in future, rather than put someone else out of their way when you know I am on my way. And they didn't improve when it came time to dish duty. So I just said to Jane, you know, I'm going to go up and sit down and read for a little bit. we all know is code for I'm going to go up, I'm going to lay down on the bed, I'm going to fall asleep.
That's right. That's
Wake
right.
me up before 9 because it's a show to be done. And it all worked out. I got a little piece, and that's how it worked out. I'm Perfect. Sure other stuff happened downstairs.
Yeah. And I'm guessing you got up in time, obviously.
Well, clearly. Yeah, I, you know, took the dogs out for Jan because she's like, well, she's like, you know, you've started the trend. I'm going to bed early. So there we go. How goes awesome. Over there, Al?
Oh, well, it's going pretty good, actually. I'm Al, and this week I am one of the waiting. I am one of the people waiting on the agents of repair, rapid enthusiasm, parts and installation in rotation. So the car has now been towed. I talked to the people at the repair place last week, and they said, "Yeah, send it over Monday." So I called AAA and had them tow it over. And right now the car, well, to be fair, as my wife checked today, she's like, "Did you check to make sure it got there?" I'm like, "No." So I got a call tomorrow to make sure it got there. But as long as AAA actually didn't steal my car, it's at the repair shop.
That seems that would be bad for their business model.
Yes. Yes, I would think so. So I'm hoping, no, I'm assuming it's there. But yeah, I'm going to call tomorrow to check anyway and ask them about something. But otherwise, yes, the car is actually at the repair place. Oh, God, fingers crossed that I have it by next week. I would love to be able to say I have it next week.
Hope.
Yeah.
Let's hope.
Been long enough.
We just had a gate replaced on the back of Jan's car, and also I think everything else. I feel you. Yeah, I was like, did we replace all the parts? Because that's what this bill seems to say to me.
Yeah, I'm using my dad's car. Thankfully, they have my mom's car, which is a lot newer and better condition. Yeah. My dad's car, I feel like it's, you know, in Ghostbusters when they first get the car. And Dan Aykroyd's going over the list of what it needs.
Yes. We were in the car the other day.
We're in the car the other day. We're like, oh, look, that's a new sound.
Oh,
I wonder what that means.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Exactly. Jan's like, oh, I think I should mention that hissing sound. And it's like, oh, God.
Yeah, there's the squealing sound it makes when you turn it on. There's the fact that, you know, not all the time, not half the time, but, you know, a quarter of the time when you turn it on, it turns right off and you have to turn it on again. There's that new sound we've heard. There's, of course, the brakes, which, you know, if you start braking at, like, over 50, the whole car shakes and shudders. There's the... not the fixed engine, but the maintenance required light that's on.
Okay.
There's a really low headlights.
Yeah.
I go, this is a fun car. I'm going to bring it back. I'm going to throw the key. I was going to throw the key somewhere. I was like, yeah, whatever. It's useless. That's not no good to anybody anyway. Who cares where
the key ends up? Exactly. Oh, man. Well, I wish you well on your vehicular adventure.
Yay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yikes. Lots of fun. Alrighty. Well, on the cover of issue 16, we have an adventure. There's no vehicles, I don't think.
Well, they got a better vehicle than I do. They got Green Lantern rings.
Yeah.
That vehicle can be whatever you want. Mm-hmm. Yes, it is issue 16 of Rebels, and last week we had Starfire, this week we got the Green Lanterns. We're hitting every corner of the DCU.
Yeah, and Green Lantern specific to this sector, to this area space that they're in.
Totally. Yes, now are they bursting through like an old cover? Or is it just...
It's not a cover. I don't recognize it as one of the covers. I think it's just like a poster.
Yeah, it's bursting through a leaf.
Because they never had a group cover like that with the Dominator guy on it.
Yeah, I guess not.
Oh, guess right, not. Yeah.
Yeah, he's got center stage there, Mr. Dominator.
Mm-hmm.
There it is. Yes. Yeah, introducing two new Green Lanterns in the pages of Rebels.
Yeah, because that's an enlistment poster.
Absolutely.
And that's...
Which is, maybe that's where the thing comes in, because that was similar to the early cover, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a similar look with all, you know, characters on there, but obviously the Dominator wasn't there yet.
Yeah, but that's right. That's
going right. By what's going on in the issue, I'm wondering if that's part of his problem. I mean, you have the person who thinks of Brainiac 2. You got a Kund, you got a Monster, you got a Dominator on there. Like, oh, yeah, that group is installing me with confidence if I live out there in space.
Totally. Like, that's
some of the friendliest some of the friendliest races in the galaxy.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yep. Alrighty. Well, let's dive in. Let's dive in here. So, see, the first time I read this, I totally didn't read the little yellow box there that says CG is doing some work.
It's like a form of Gamera. Looks like.
Totally, yeah. I was thinking it was some like giant turtle monster, but no, it's our resident Derlin doing some grunt work there.
Now, where were we in time with the Abnett and Lanning Guardians?
Let me look. I have that page up, so let's see what's going on at Marvel this month. Let's see if there's anything.
I just say that because, this does seem, like you say, when you just said that about Gamera, it's like, ooh, that would have been around this time.
Oh, I don't see any Guardians of the Galaxy issue out this month.
Okay. But that came out after Annihilation, so that was definitely before this. Like, that was, 2007, 2008, maybe?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
World War... I think World War Hulk is going on right now, if that helps.
Yeah, that's definitely later on then. It was probably a few years earlier. Because Annihilation...
Yeah, that's this is during the heroic age of Marvel. Because a lot of them have the heroic age banner up top.
Oh, yeah. Oh, gosh. So this is kind of the bringing back together of things.
Yeah, because I got Secret Avengers number 1, Secret Warriors 16 is out. So Hickman hasn't even started doing Avengers yet.
Oh, yeah, right. Definitely. Okay, yeah, Annihilation was 2006. So, yeah.
This might have been between maybe one of the Guardians series, because then, that series lasted, 2 years and ended with, I know it ended, 24 or 23 or something. Warlock became the Magus. They had to try and kill him.
Yeah, so this... here it is. Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, May 2008, so about a year before this. But, yeah, okay, there we go. So, there is some sort of relation.
Maybe World War Hulk's over, maybe. Maybe that's a variant. Because I'm only seeing the only Hulk stuff I'm seeing is the actual Hulk. I'm not seeing World War Hulk.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's just reprints. Because I'm seeing Dark Avengers 16, which was part of Siege. Might be like the end of it.
Yeah. It all does kind of blur together, doesn't it? After a while.
Yeah, that must be the end of it. Because I'm seeing Avengers number 1, which is, that post-Siege series.
Right. Right, because it's neither New Avengers nor Mighty Avengers. It's just Avengers.
Yeah. Oh, and Atlas number 1. That was worth reading. But anyway, back to this.
Sure. Alrighty, so CG is looking like a turtle.
Big turtle.
Giant turtle.
I'm expecting a little cowabunga to happen.
Totally. A little bit of pizza, a little bit of cowabunga. All right. So CG's saying, okay, people, clear out. At this size, I don't want to risk stepping on anyone or dropping this on the lot of you. Unit 474 going active. And she puts it down and it clinks into place. Air Farm 43 is now online. Moving on to, and then she gets screed right in the back, and it almost looks like her little head explodes, but, it's not a big deal because she's Derlin, so.
Right. It's all in where you put your head,
that's
right?
That's right. You can make a new head. You can make a new head. And it turns out she's getting screed by Starfire, who is flying down saying, who are you, monster, and what have you done to my planet? And we get the little tag box or whatever saying, Rebels, that's the industry nickname for the metahuman inner circle of Legion. Commander Vril Dax. And then we get all the little operatives that are working with them. Adam Strange, Captain Comet, Wildstar, Amon Hack, CG, Xylon, Bounder, Tribulus, and they are a Justice for Profit. And this is part two of what happens in Vega. Dot, dot, dot. Stays in Vega. Tony Bedard, writer. Claude Saint-Aubin, penciler. Walden Wong is inks. Jose Villarubia, colorist. Travis Lanham is letterer. Brian Cunningham and Sean Ryan are the editors. So Starfire is not impressed. She is angry. And CG is saying, wait, this is not what it looks like, says Starfire. I know Terraformer technology when I see it. Whatever you did to bring back Tamaran, I cannot allow you to transform my home. And then she's zapped by Wildstar. Wildstar's energy shoots out and zaps her. Oh my gosh, that is one giant beetly bug trying to fly in my window. It's got to be as big as my finger. Okay.
Which fingers?
The biggest one. Not my baby finger. It's the...
Tell you what.
I can't. I cannot even look out the window now. Gross. Okay, anyway. Starfire is getting zapped, and Starfire is zapping. There's lots of zapping going on. She turns around and fires back at Wildstar. How many of you people are there? And then she gets wrapped up in like a really cool design. It's like a little snake creature, but with one eye, and
it's like made up of different. It almost looks like a snake creature made up of snakes.
Yes, exactly. It's pretty cool. It is very cool. And CG is saying, calm yourself, don't make me hurt you, as she slams Starfire into the ground.
Yeah.
And then someone is saying, CG, Wildstar, let her up. And Starfire recognizes that voice. She says, that voice? Yeah, Corey, it's me, as Adam Strange flies down. And I'd hoped to break the news to you under better circumstances. What news, she says, as he helps her up. Well, for starters, this isn't Tamaran. Ladies, meet Princess Coriander of Tamaran. She and I go back a ways, at least as far as 52. And these are my new associates from Legion. Adam, I have no wish to be rude, but introductions must wait. If this planet is not Tamaran, why in Exile's name does it occupy my homeworld's orbit? Easy, Cory. It'll all make more sense if I let the guy in charge explain. So, about half an hour later, they are hanging out in Legion headquarters, and Brainiac, he's gonna kill me. I used the name he does not want.
It says it there, though.
I know it says it there, but
Brainiac 2
doesn't like that.
That's why it's funny when they use it.
I'm gonna get a contract put out on me. Vrildox, homeworld Kalu superintelligence. He says, "Welcome to Planet Ran." Ron? I think I said Ran.
I think it's Ran. Yeah.
Princess Coriander. May I call you Cory? And she says, no. Spare me the false. I just let the Titans call me that. Spare me the false smile, Vrildox. I know all about you. Fair enough, Starfire, but at least hear me out. As you know, the Scions imploded Tamaran a few years ago, leaving almost zero trace of your homeworld. Sadly, the damage from this war crime was not confined to Tamaran alone. And he pulls up a little star map, and we see all the planets of that air, of that system, that Vega system. The sudden loss of that much mass threw off the gravitational balance of the entire Vega system. Each orbit was subtly deflected. Without something to replace Tamaran, worlds would collide or fall into the sun. And so his little simulation shows Okara smashing into Maltus with disastrous results. So, meanwhile, in the Polaris system, Ran was completely stripped of life by a mad space god. Most of the population escaped, but they've lived as refugees ever since. And Starfire says, Adam, Alana, I am truly sorry, my friends. I know all too well what it is to have no home. Yeah. Poor thing, since she's left Earth and her planet's been blown up.
Yeah.
Poor baby. All right, so Vrildok says, then understand, my intent here is to solve two problems at once. The planetary balance is restored, and the Rannians are home again. Or they will be, once the atmosphere has a few more weeks to simmer. Clever, says Starfire, but what do you get out of it? And Alana just kind of whispers to Adam Strange. She does not beat around the bush. Simple, Starfire. The Rannians are gracious, grateful people. They have agreed to host my new headquarters.
Aww. Now, okay, I understand what he's saying about that solves those two planet problems, but doesn't that cause the same problem in the Polaris system, where now there's a planet missing? I mean, wouldn't that be the same issue as Tamran missing here? I mean, so now we have to, like, put a planet there, take a planet from somewhere, put it in Polaris, and take a planet to put there, and then...
There's a
planet hopping all over.
Yes.
Well, yeah, I guess so. I just assumed, I don't know what I assumed. I assumed he just made the planet wholesale, but I guess you're right. If he that's right, because last issue he was talking about a giant Zeta beam. So
yeah,
you're right.
So this literally is Ran moved from one system to another, but doesn't that cause the same issue that what Vega was going to have?
Yeah.
I mean, unless Ran was the only planet in that sector where therefore it doesn't matter because there was nothing else, but.
Right.
I'm just wondering if that's going to come up at all.
I feel like Adam Strange and Alana were always like battling alien creatures and stuff. Maybe they were all alien creatures from Ran.
or further away.
You know what? Either way, like, clearly that system is not on Dox's payroll. They're not, paid for his services. So, you know, lower on the priority list.
Which is a very Dox way to look at it, for sure.
Totally.
Yeah. I'm just wondering if that's going to be something that's going to come up at all. I'm just curious.
Well, we'll see, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So 5 weeks later, everything is growing on the planet Ran. It looks blue and green and beautiful, and all the people are walking around. There's like a news node special. This entire quadrant is buzzing about Vega's newest addition. Many ask why the people of Ran would want to move their planet into such a rough neighborhood. But after their war with Thanagar and more bad turns than a Coon soap opera, the Rannians are just happy to have their home back, even if they have the son of Brainiac to thank for it. And the Coons have soap operas? That's surprising.
That would be something to see.
Like, I could see them having Ninja Warrior. I could see them having...
Yes. Well, just think of soap operas with a lot more stabbing.
I guess so.
Yeah, let me tell you, in Kund Bachelor, it's not roses they hand out.
No. Nope. Now, that show I would watch. Oh. I haven't watched a regular Bachelor in a long time, but Kund version? I might be up for that.
Yeah. And there's, you know, Vanderkund rules.
It would be hard to top the latest season, which I'm not even going to get into, but it's been rocking the stratosphere around here.
Excellent.
And of course, Survivor, which is most of the shows in Kundia.
Totally.
Yes.
Exactly. Alrighty. So, news node reporter, Hara and Grexia caught up with Legion Commander Vrildox and found his bad reputation may be somewhat exaggerated. So this is Dox in like prime smarmy mode, prime.
Yeah.
This is not the dot. Yeah, totally. Actually, Hara, the biggest challenge wasn't moving the planet. It was finding viable genetic samples from Ran's extinct flora and fauna because I simply could not sleep until I knew that every blade of grass and every bird's song was exactly as it once was. And Blackfire, Starfire's sister, is watching this on the TV, and she says, "This is beyond intolerable. Alert the fleet that we are setting course for Ran, at once my queen." And we get her little tag there that says she's Queen Commander, Blackfire, homeworld, Starhaven? I don't think so, unless...
No, yeah, that must be a mistake.
That's weird.
Unless, I don't know, maybe she was camping out on Starhaven for a while.
I think that's a whole error, because that looks like Wildstar's powers, because it says interstellar tracking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Light, strength, energy projection. Yeah. Paging the editor. Yeah. She's got some of those. She's got flight, strength, energy projection. She just doesn't have the tracking and is not from Starhaven. But
Yeah,
we'll chalk that up to editorial
screw up
oversight. Yep. All right, she says, top speed. I don't want anyone killing Docs before I do. So they are flying off to deal with Docs. At the same time, the Scions are also watching that TV show. And they are sadistic super science folks. And the little lizards are saying, impressive. How long before his grand experiment is crushed by one of the local powers? You mean, aside from us, says one of the scientists. So they're also unhappy. And then the Green Lanterns, the Guardians, are watching over things. And they are saying, Lantern Vath Sarn requests reassignment to his homeworld's new sector. Planet Ran, says another one. And then one of the Guardians says, request denied. New Lanterns have already been chosen for this most troublesome sector. And we flip the page and we see that we are checking in on the Legion team. On Ranagar, the capital city of Ran has housed has issued municipal bonds to finance reconstruction. Investors from Polaris to Tau Ceti are cautiously optimistic. And Docs is saying, I've analyzed my media mentions over the past 3 days. He's got a Google alert on his name.
Of course he does.
Yeah, fully 93% of them identify me as the son of Brainiac, a perception I am eager to erase. And Captain Comet is just kind of grinning, saying, well, good luck with that. Facts, as they say, are stubborn things.
You got to love Captain Comet being the one who pulls out a Reagan quote.
Yeah, totally. And Doc says, look, I may have been cloned from the worst villain my people ever produced, but I am not his son. I was created solely to assist his quest for knowledge. I may be flesh of his flesh, but Brainiac only ever saw me as a lackey. When he left Kalu to pursue his rapacious studies alone, I was given to the Dominators as a plaything to be abused and forgotten. It was in a Dominator prison that I first conceived of Legion, a licensed extra-governmental interstellar operatives network to bring order where none exists. I wrote it all in my manifesto, and I launched this venture to protect the weak and exploited, to fight criminals like Brainiac and the computer tyrants of Kalu, to prove my identity defies my genetics. I am the antithesis of Brainiac, and yet the chattering classes mention us both in the same breath. Boy, he's having a day, and we're having a good flashback.
It's the way he's saying it so angrily. It's just great. You know, it's like, yeah, maybe it's a little too something.
Yep. Alrighty, and Captain Comet is just kind of rolling his eyes. Maybe if you hadn't built your team from convicts and murderers like Lobo, you'd have more credibility as a man of peace. And Brainiac just kind of
look at Andy Clark's version, or Saint Aubin's version of the OG team.
It's great. It's really good. Yeah. No one is forcing you to remain, Captain Comet. The same goes for all of you. But whoever does stay on will take part in the greatest law enforcement movement in history. I am reestablishing Legion contracts with former client worlds, and I'm reaching out to sign up new ones. No longer will we deploy a robot army. We will recruit and employ live peacekeepers. The people of each client world will enforce their own local codes with our training, logistical support, and firepower. And it all begins here, in the Vega system, the most lawless sector in space. We clean up this cesspit, and the galaxy will line up to join the Legion network. And Captain Comet says, that or the law of unintended consequences will nail you right out of the gate. Meaning, you dropped Ran on the Vega sector like they dropped Israel on Palestine. I'd say you got some blowback coming your way. Dominator says, Palestine? And Adam says, look, it's an Earth reference. It's not exactly appropriate. And Docs just walks out. I have a meeting in Antares. You are all dismissed. And elsewhere in the Vega sector, we meet the two new Green Lanterns. One of them says they're making for Rashashoon. They will sell that stolen ship in the chop docks. No, Lantern Karkum, we will not let them. So we have Adams. He's the Green Lantern, sector 2828, homeworld Okara. So he's got like the blue skin and the fangs and...
Yeah.
His lantern ring is creating lots of like stabby spears and stuff. And his partner is from Scion. Her name is Gorius Karkum. I'm afraid we must. The plague on Syndromeda is a higher priority and we must contain it immediately. Worry not, Scion, this won't take long. And then there's like a big zap on the spaceship. Now try running with your star drive hobbled. And before he can do anything, he gets zapped by a Legion cruiser. Stolen Arcturian vessel, you are now property of Legion. Stand by to be boarded. And the Green Lantern is furious. You dare fire upon a prince of the warlords of Okara. And his partner kind of flies up. Now, neither of them have got, like, the little lantern symbol on their chest. They've just got a big white circle. Is this because they're brand new? Or is it just a stylistic design? I would have expected, like, a little lantern symbol of some kind. But
yeah, I don't know if it's because they're new or if this is another one of those editorial mistakes.
Yeah, I don't know. All right, so the Scion says, stand down, Alton. As curious as I am about the outcome of such an attack, this matter must be resolved by someone higher up in the core command structure. And then we bounce into Legion headquarters, and Docs is having a chat with Green Lantern Salak. To what do I owe the honor of this call, Lantern Salak? Do not play coy, Vril Docs. One of your patrols nearly killed one of my rookies today. Oh, that's awkward. It was Alton Adams, favorite son of Okara, not the best Green Lantern to make an enemy of, unless you want an entire warrior culture mobilized against you. Start a turf war with the Corps, son of Brainiac, and you will lose. Mr. Salak, I have a contractual obligation to my shareholders to grow Legion aggressively. So, unless your Corps cares to buy out all my contracts, I suggest you stick your reprimand where no lantern shines. Docs out. He closes off communication, and Adam Strange says, must you antagonize the Green Lantern Corps? I have a list 3 megs long of potential enemies. The Corps didn't even make my top 5. And then we check back in with Blackfire in her ship, which is huge apparently because it is housing I guess the remnants of Vega or of Tamaran. Whichever ones are left, they're all kind of following along with Blackfire. This could be a problem, one of her flunkies says. It appears that billions of Rannians are coming home all at once with no air traffic control in place. It's chaos down there. Blackfire says, then they won't realize we are among them. Have our vessels join the incoming ships, one at a time. Make it look like we are ferrying refugees. We will rendezvous within striking distance of Dox's headquarters. Right on. And then we check in on Adam Strange in Atlanta. And he's having a little chat with his daughter. Daddy, when can I go back to school? Soon, baby girl. People are already working on it. And Alana is saying, my father seems to think we've made a pact with the devil. I told him you'd know better. You do, don't you? Before he can answer, there's a knock on the door and Captain Comet comes in. I'm leaving. This isn't really for me. Tell Docs when he gets back from his recruiting trip, would ya? And Adam says, you're moving back to Hardcore Station? Because if you're missing your dog, we could always bring him here. Please. That mutt is more of a survivor than I am. He's probably already rented out my room.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love these two guys hanging out. Like, this is just, yeah.
I know. Yeah, they're like classic DC Silver Age sci-fi guys. They might as well hang out. And
absolutely.
But I just keep thinking that this whole Legion revival is a disaster in the making. And if I help Docs when this all eventually blows up in his face, doesn't that make me part of the problem? And then Starfire walks up. What are you two whispering about? And she says, look, I made it official. If Legion is going to clean up the Vega system, I want to be a part of that. And so she's got a Legion emblem right on her belly.
Yeah, let's say that.
Yeah.
I mean to be fair, it's really the only place in her costume it could be.
Yeah.
Besides her boots.
Her armband? Yes. It's a choice. That's all I'm going to say.
And with it being a hand, I don't know.
I know, yeah. Like a grasping little...
Yeah.
Starfire. She says, what did I interrupt? And Adam says, well, Captain Comet was just saying he's... Never mind, Adam. It can wait. As his eyes are glued on Starfire. You know, Princess... You and I have crossed paths before, but I can't say I know you as well as Adam does. You maybe want to get a cup of coffee or something, and they walk off. And Adam Strange says to his wife, looks like Comet just realized that the 6'4" half-naked supermodel is, well, a half-naked supermodel. Yeah. And Alana says, sooner or later, all the boys do. And Starfire is flying around saying, Comet, it's beautiful up here. So they're both flying around. How did you come by your abilities, Captain? Radioactive meteor. Supposedly, I'm what all humans will be a million years from now. Telekinetic, telepathic, tele-whatever. And she says, you can read minds? I'm not trying to read yours, if you're wondering. Though I can't help but pick up on your emotions. They're a bit much. It's the Tamaranian way. We feel things intensely. Just how clearly can you read my emotions? Clear enough to make me wonder who he is. The guy that made you leave Earth, I mean. Before they can explore that thought any further, there's a big explosion. And Captain Comet's like, holy. And Starfire's, oh no. Those are my people, as she sees the Tamaranians shooting Rand down to pieces. And Captain Comet says, I'll try not to kill any. And then we see Blackfire, faster, get us in his headquarters now, before. And Starfire just flies over, grabs Blackfire, and flies off with her. Sister, what are you thinking? I heard you lost your powers. Have you also lost your mind? You wear their symbol on your belly, and you call me crazy. As for my powers, I got better. As she zaps Starfire in the face with the Blackfire blast. To be concluded. Bum, bum, bum.
I mean, this is what we've always wanted. The fight, another fight between Corey and Blackfire.
Between the sisters. Yeah.
Beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Yep, that is where it ends. There's like a few page preview of like the latest Green Arrow issue, but or the series that came out of Brightest Day, but
yeah,
it's not,
which lasted forever.
Did it?
It's still going. No,
it probably lasted all the way through Flashpoint, and then
exactly.
Pretty much, yeah. I think they ended right before Flashpoint.
That's right. They also mention Justice League Generations Lost number one. This was So it was Winnick, Giffen, and Johns. Wait, no. Or they were there. I think it was Winnick who definitely wrote it. Sure.
Hang on here.
Yeah, and Aaron Lopresti, Joe Bennett, and Fernando Danino.
Yeah.
Yep, that's what I'm seeing. Yeah, Joe Bennett writer, Joe Bennett pencils.
Yeah, so it was kind of back and forth because it was a biweekly book.
Yeah,
that's right, because it wasn't like 52. They did two biweekly series instead of one weekly.
Yeah, I can't remember. There was another one too, and I can't remember what it was.
Brightest Day.
It was just Brightest Day. You're right.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yep.
Nice.
Yeah, that's where we're at, my friends. That is where we are at.
Very good, folks. Tell us all about your thoughts on the Starfire Blackfire battle at LegionofSubstitutePodcasters@gmail.com. You can also head over to the website and just comment on this or any episode, and that is at legionofsubstitutepodcasters.com.
And with that, we take our leave, and we will see you next WEEK.
HASTALAVISTA.
NDAIKATUI OPENSA MBA apostrophe EVE REHE.
Uh-huh. He just had like a bunch of letters in a bowl and just started picking it out.
I just read what was out of the scrapbook.
Non-disclosure agreement, National Basketball Association. That's all I heard.
I heard the NFL.
You learned the secret, damn it.
Wrote the code. It's all over now.